Last week we talked about going a different way, about making some changes in our lives, doing things different in this new year. We looked at the wise men who were going to see the young child, Jesus. They were asked by King Herod to find out where the child was and bring him word so he could go worship the newborn king. That wasn't what he wanted to do, and so he really wanted to go and kill the new baby. And so we saw the wise men, when they had found the young child, the Bible says they left a different way. And when we meet Jesus, we're kind of like the wise men. We leave a different way. We are changed. We become a new person. Old things pass away. All things become new. And so we'll leave a different way. Last week we talked about moving into a new year and making improvements on being faithful, more faithful to God, and doing the things that He's called us to do, and being more faithful than we've been in the year past. And so, this morning, I want to talk to you for a few minutes on a sermon entitled "Make 2026 the Best Year of Your Life." 2026 could be the best year of your life. It's your choice. And I want to encourage you to do that. It don't matter how long you've been a Christian or how faithful you've been. As Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, we all have room for improvement. None of us has reached that point of perfection yet. As a matter of fact, those who think they have reached that point of perfection are the ones who are really mistaken. And they're really messing up if they think they've reached that point. Paul had been a very faithful Christian since he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You remember that encounter? There was a tremendous change that took place in his life. He became a brand new person, as we all do when we meet Jesus. He was changed from a man who was going about persecuting Christians. As a matter of fact, he was on his way at that very moment to arrest some Christians and persecuting them. That's what he did. He was persecuting Christians, throwing them in jail. He was a witness when Stephen was stoned to death. He was there, and they laid their clothes at his feet. He was there cheering them on as they stoned Stephen, a man of God, to death. And he was changed from that when he met Jesus, and he became a man who began to preach the gospel, who began to be a witness, a faithful witness of God wherever he went, planting churches, being persecuted himself for his faith. He was persecuted a lot. But he did it because he had met Jesus. There had been a change that took place. So this morning I want us to read in Philippians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 10 through 14. And then we'll look at some things that we can do to make 2026 the best year of our lives. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we see there, Paul is giving us a little rundown about where he's at now. He says, I'm not there yet. I've not reached perfection yet. He was a very faithful man. He was very committed to doing the Lord's work. He was, we attribute a good part of the New Testament to his writings, and his encouragement for us to live the life that God has called us to live. And his statement there was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable into his death. He certainly experienced some of those sufferings. He suffered much for the cause of Jesus Christ. He had been responsible for a lot of persecution in the past, persecuting Christians, and now he became the persecuted as he followed Jesus Christ and lived for him for the rest of his life. And very faithfully, he lived for him. But he was constantly, every day, reaching forward, trying to do a little bit better, a little bit more, being a little bit more faithful to what God had called him to do. So, a few things we want to look at this morning in our goal of making 2026 the best year of our life. There are a few things that I've jotted down. First of all, life's not a dress rehearsal. This is it. This is the only life you have to live on this earth. It's not a practice run, so you get a chance to go back and undo some things that you did that you wish you hadn't have done, or do some things a little bit better or whatever. No, this is it. You don't get to come back and correct those mistakes and do something different. This is your life, and this is the only one that you get here on this earth. And so we need to understand that and make the best of that, knowing that this is our only chance. It's our only chance to share Jesus with other people, with our friends or co-workers or acquaintances or just the people that God puts in our path from day to day. That's an opportunity for us. Knowing that this is not just a practice run, that this is it, then we need to be more serious about making good choices as we go through this life, making sure that we avoid the pitfalls of life as much as possible, that we seek the direction of Jesus Christ in our lives, and make sure that we stay in tune with Him and do the things that honor Him, that please Him, and that will bring Him glory. And when we do those things that will bring Him glory, then He will bring us blessings. When we're obedient to Him, when we do the things that He's called us to do, when we do the things that His Word tells us to do, then He will bless us for that. There are a lot of blessings in store for us if we will just simply heed what God's Word tells us to do. If we'll be faithful to Him and realize that it's meaningful because we're affecting a lot of other people's lives. A lot of people that you have no idea that you're having any kind of effect on their lives, it would surprise you to know some of the people that are watching you and some of the people that you're having a tremendous effect on by the life you live day to day. And so we We understand that this is not just a dress rehearsal. It's not just a practice run. This is the real McCoy, the real thing. And so as we go through life, we need to understand that. This is it. And we don't get to redo it. So we need to do the very best that we can as we go through it. As we realize that this is it, that this is the only life we have on this earth, then we need to keep in mind the end. We need to keep the end in mind. The end of this life's coming. You know, the grand finale, if you would, is coming. It's called death. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, the Bible says, "And as it is appointed, a man wants to die, and after this, a judgment." That's coming, and it's coming quickly. Paul said there in the scripture I just read, in verse number 14, he said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." He had the end in mind. But he was working every day toward that end. He was working every day. Everything that he did with the end in mind. That's what we need to do. We need to think about the end. One of these days, this life's going to end. And when we meet Jesus, then what we've done with Him and for Him are the things that are going to count. We're all going to be accountable. The Bible says we're going to be accountable. We're going to give account for the good and the evil that we've done. And so we need every day to make sure that the things that we're doing are things that honor Christ, are things that show our faithfulness and our faith in Jesus Christ. We're doing things that are going to honor Him. And while we're doing things that are going to honor Him, we're benefiting because we're going to receive the blessings of life. Because He's blessing us because we're doing the things that He's called us to do. And so as we look toward the end, and I think about, you know, the time when we're going to face that judgment, when we're going to give account of the things that we've done. And I don't want to have to try to hide my face because I'm embarrassed because I didn't do what I should have done. You know, every day I need to think about that. I need to remember that I'm one day going to give an account, and I need to make sure that every day I'm living my life in such a way that I'll not have to be embarrassed by what I did, that I'll be able to say that I've done my best. I did all I could to demonstrate my faith in and faithfulness to Jesus Christ, to share the love of Christ with those that I had opportunity to come in contact with, so that I'm not ashamed. I certainly don't want to hear those words that Jesus mentions in the Bible that a lot of people are going to hear. You know, those words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you." I don't want to hear that, okay? I want to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so to be able to hear that every day, I need to have that in my mind. I need to be thinking about what I'm going to hear when the end comes. And knowing that we don't know when the end's going to come. You know, we don't have the promise of a tomorrow, next week or next month or next year. We only have the promise of right now and the choice we make right now. And so we need to keep in mind that the end. We need to keep that in mind and remember what we want to hear. "Well done, good and faithful servant." If we want to hear those words, then we need to be doing those things that will cause Him to be able to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We don't need to be doing things that we're going to be embarrassed by, that He's not going to be able to say, "Well done." You know, we don't want to do those things that He's going to say, "You know, that was against my will. You know, that's not what I told you to do. That did not bring me glory." We want to do those things that will bring Him glory, so we can hear those things, those Well done, good and faithful servant. So, this is it. It's not a dress rehearsal. We need to keep the end in mind. And in doing that, we need to let go of yesterday. We can't live the rest of our lives resting on what we did in the past. You know, some of us think about what we've done, the things we've accomplished. You know, I've really done good. I've done, you know, this or that. I've acquired this or that. If you were in Sunday school this morning, you might have learned that it's the things of this world are not really the things that count. You know, the things that you acquire, your finances and other material goods, that's not where it's at. You know, that's all going to be left here for somebody to fight over when you're gone. So that's not where it's at. It's all about what you do for Jesus Christ. So we need to let go of yesterday. Stop living in the past and trying to lean on those things those good things that you've done in the past. Not only do we need to forget the good things that we've done and stop depending on those things to get us somewhere, we need to stop remembering and crying over the mistakes of the past. You know? We need to forget those things. What did Paul say there in that scripture that I just read? He said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. We need to forget those things. Don't keep remembering those things that we've done in the past. Don't keep depending on those things. Don't even keep being sorrowful for those mistakes that you've made. If Paul had just dwelled on the past, he didn't have a whole lot to be proud of, did he? Initially. Because his past was persecuting Christians. Now later on, after he met Jesus, and he began to do those things that honored Christ, and he had some good things, but he could have spent the rest of his life crying and being sad over all the things, all the Christians that he had persecuted. He probably saw Stephen being stoned. I can see in my mind's eye him seeing that over and over and over and over and over. You know, where he was there and he was cheering them on as they stoned Stephen to death. He said, forget those things that are behind. I can't do anything. You can't do anything to change anything you've done in the past. It's all past. It's all gone. You can't do it, undo it. You can't do anything about what's done. It's kind of like I mentioned the other night, you ever left a message on somebody's voicemail? And after you left the message, you think, oh man, I shouldn't have said that. That's not the way I wanted to say that. But you can't erase it, you know. Once you send that message, it's already said, it's done. You can't undo it. You can apologize for it, but you can't undo it. You can apologize for the things that you've done in the past, and we need to do that, repent of that, and ask God's forgiveness, and do like He does. Put it in the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west, never be remembered again. Don't we wish we had that ability to forget those things? You know, sometimes being able to forget is a blessing. I'm being more blessed with that as years go by. You know, my forgetter works a whole lot better than my rememberer does. And sometimes that's not all bad. You know, when we're able to forget those things that you know, I've thought about some things in the past and I think, well, you know, I remember he did something that really upset me and made me mad, but I don't remember what it was. You know, anybody else here ever done that? I may be the only one in the crowd, you know. I tell people from time to time, of all the things I've lost, it's my mind I miss the most. Sometimes that's a good thing. It's good that we can forget a lot of things that are in the past. Because we tend to want to live in the past. We tend to want to hang on to those things that are in the past. We need to let go of yesterday. Let it go. It's gone. Okay? We can't do anything about it. It's done. We can't undo it. It's done. We can start right now and we can move forward. We've got this moment right now, and the choices we make right now are the only ones that we have right now. We can't even make our choices for tomorrow. You know, we can think about what we might do, make plans, but if you're anything like me, the plans you make don't really matter a whole lot because they may or may not come to pass. Seldom ever do we go to sleep at night that Renee don't ask me, what are your plans for tomorrow? And my response is usually, I really don't know, because I don't. It depends on, you know, what need comes up. What happens between now and then? I don't even know if I'm going to live tomorrow. You know? If I don't, that's okay too. I know where I'm going. It's going to be a whole lot better than anything I've ever experienced. And so, let go of yesterday and don't put all your stakes in what's going to happen later. You know, so many people live either in the past or in the future, you know. We start off, boy, when we're in school, it's, man, if I can ever graduate, I can ever get out of here, you know. And then we're in college, man, when I get out of college, get me a good job, you know. And I'm going to be somebody then. And then, you know, when I get married, man, that'll be the ultimate high. I get married. Then we get married. Well, you know, when we have children, then that's going to really be a blessing. And it's always, we're not satisfied where we are. It's always something else that we're looking forward to in the future. And a lot of times those things don't ever materialize. The one thing that we do know is going to happen in the future for every one of us is the end. You know, this life is going to end. And so what we do right now is what's going to count. So we need to stop living in the past. We need to let yesterday go. Don't try to live in the future. You know, think about today. What are you going to do today? Because happiness is a choice. You have a choice in every situation. You can choose to focus on the negative and be depressed and downtrodden and just defeated, or you can choose to look at the bright side. There's always a bright side somewhere. Sometimes it's hard to find, but it's there. So it's our choice. In Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13, Paul still speaking. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul said, I have a choice, you know. I can complain because I'm poor, you know, or I can think about how wealthy I am. He said, I've learned to be content whatever the situation is. Why? Because he knew where his strength was. He knew. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So I don't need to be defeated by the negative that comes my way, because I know Christ, and I know that I can do all things through Christ, so I don't have to live in the muck and the mire. You know, I may fall in it, but I don't have to stay there, because God will give me the strength to get out of it. He'll help me out of it. I don't have to stay there. I don't need to stay there. And so, it's a choice that we make. You know, there's a little statement that's back there on my desk. It says, you're not a failure when you fall. You're a failure when you refuse to get up. Okay? It's just because you fall don't mean you're a failure. We all stumble. We all fall from time to time. That don't make you a failure. But when you just lay there and wallow in your sorrow and you refuse to try to get up, that's when you become a failure. So get up and press on, realizing that I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I'm not defeated. I can do what I need to do. As a matter of fact, in 1 John 4 and verse 4, the Bible said, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. So, we're overcomers. As a matter of fact, we're more than overcomers. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39, so what shall we say then of these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for us, who can be against us? Who can conquer us? No one. Verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're more than conquerors. Not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Within ourselves? No. Through Christ. Through Christ who strengthens us. We're more than conquerors. And so happiness is a choice. We can choose to be happier, we can choose to be defeated. The psalmist put it this way in Psalm 118, verse 24. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's our choice, you know. We get up in the morning, we can say, oh man, it's probably going to be a bad day today, you know. I just feel like it's going to be a tough day. You know what? It probably is. It probably will be. Because that's what you're looking for. You know? You're expecting it already. You're already claiming it. You're claiming to be defeated. You say, man, it's going to be a bad day. So what are you looking for? You're looking for all the negatives. You're looking for where all the bad is going to come from. And you can't see the good when it's all over you. We can change that when we wake up in the morning and we say, this is a day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to be a great day. The devil's going to come at me. I know that. I'm ready. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. He's going to try everything he can to try to knock me down, to try to defeat me, to try to cause me to stumble. But hey, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. More than a conqueror. So it's our choice. We can choose. Are we going to be blessed? or we're going to be defeated. It's our choice. Now, does this mean that we'll never have any difficulties, trials, and temptations? No. Paul had them. He was beaten, left for dead. He suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. Never gave up. Because in a lot of those times when Satan thought he had won, he really had lost because, you know, Paul gets thrown in prison. What happens? All the prisoners get saved. Because Paul, instead of having a pity party, because he's in jail, and he ain't done nothing to get in jail, he's just living for the Lord. He could say, I can't believe God let me in prison. But he said, hey, these people down here need to be saved. And God just opened my door so I can come in here and witness to them and share Jesus Christ with them. I think it's called, what do they say about that? Making lemonade out of lemons? Something like that, you know? Making the best of the situation. Paul said, I've learned to be content. What does that mean? I've learned to be satisfied in Jesus Christ, no matter what the outward circumstances may look like. Okay? May look like I'm poor, but you know what? If I am, the Bible promises me that I will not be in need. He promises me that if I'll put Him first, He'll take care of all my needs. So, you know, I may not know where it's coming from. I may not have the money in my pocket, you know, to get food to eat. But when I need it, somebody will furnish it. Because God's going to lay it on somebody's heart to bring me something to eat. He's going to give me the strength to get out there and earn that living. Paul didn't depend on everybody else. Even though Paul was serving Christ faithfully and doing what God had called him to do, he didn't depend on the church to take care of all his needs. He worked. He was a tent maker. Why did he do that? Because he didn't want to do anything that would give anybody room to say that he was doing what he was doing to get their money. Don't need your money. You know? Depending on God. Remember in a church where I was at several years ago, and I had a family that decided they didn't like me. It was time for me to leave, in their opinion, but the only problem was they hadn't talked to God about that, and you know, God hadn't told me it was time to leave yet, so they did the natural thing that you do when you want to get rid of the preacher. You know, they started running a campaign to cut the salary. You know, you cut the salary, they'll leave. You know, that's what they're for. They're for anyway, right? And so they started that campaign. I just sat down with them and told them, I said, hey, you just do whatever you feel like you need to do. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. God called me here, and He ain't called me away yet. And until He does, I'm here. I don't really care, you know, how He takes care of me. He's just promised me that if I'll do what He's called me to do, He'll take care of me. And I just believe that He'll do that. Whether it's I need gas and I pull into the gas station and the attendant yells out, fill it up, preacher, it's already paid for. Go to the grocery store, the cashier says, get what you need, it's already taken care of. I don't care how He does it. He didn't explain to me exactly how He was going to do it, but He told me in His Word, and He's told you in His Word, that if you will be obedient to Him, if you'll do what He's called you to do, that He will always supply your need. And can I tell you, that is absolutely true. He's proven it to me over and over and over. And that's exactly what Paul believed. And you know what? It's right. Happiness is a choice. We sang a song a few minutes ago entitled, Serve the Lord with Gladness. You know? It shouldn't be a chore. I get that. Every now and then somebody will say, well, preacher, you didn't need to do that. You didn't have to do that. I didn't do it because I had to. I did it because I get to. You know? I like God's blessings. Anybody here not like God's blessings? I kind of like them myself. When we do what He's called us to do, He pours them on. That's a promise. That is His promise in His Word. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. What are these things? In the preceding verses. This is in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. If you look at the preceding verses, He's talking about material things. He's talking about food. He's talking about clothing. He's talking about your housing. You don't have money to pay the light bill? Well, either one or two things. Either God's a liar, or you're not where you need to be in your relationship with Him. Because He said if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, He'll take care of the light bill. He'll take care of the house. He'll take care of all your needs. Is He a liar? Not on your life. The problem is if you don't have the things that you need, I'm not talking about all the things you want. Because too many of us have some pretty big wants. He didn't promise to supply all your wants. However, He will supply a lot of your wants if you'll put Him first and do what He's called you to do. But He did promise to supply all your needs. Happiness is a choice. So, why don't we get up every morning with the attitude, today is going to be the best day of my life. And if we get up every morning with that attitude, and we live through that day with that attitude, then guess what? 2026 is going to be the best year of your life. If you live every day with that attitude, today's going to be the very best day of my life, then this is going to be the very best year of your life. And if the Lord tarries and we see 2027 and we continue to live with that attitude, today is going to be the very best day of my life, then 2027 will supersede 2026 because it will become the best year of your life. We're growing in our relationship with Christ. So every day, we should be growing a little bit closer. We should be getting a little bit more faithful because we've experienced a little bit more of His promises. And we know there's nothing too hard for Him. We just depend on Him. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation, we know, hey, I'm your child, and I'm obedient to you. I'm doing what you've called me to do, and I'm not going to sweat the small stuff because I know you're going to take care of it, and He will. So let's make 2026 the best year of our lives. Make 2026 the best year of your life. How you do that? One day at a time. There's a song. It's entitled One Day at a Time. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Live it one day at a time. Claim it as the best day of your life because you're looking at the positive and you're choosing to experience the joys, the blessings of God. He'll bless you. And it'll be a great year for you if He tarries through the whole year. We don't know. He's coming back, I know that. Is it going to be in 2026? There's a really good possibility. Do we know? No. But we know one thing. I've got this moment right now. I'm still breathing. My heart's still, it's still beating. So I got this moment. So what I choose to do right now, I choose to be faithful to Him and enjoy His blessings and make this the best day of my life. Father, love You and thank You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the many blessings of life. I thank You because, Lord, Your Word's true, absolutely true. Thank You because no matter how unbelievable a lot of Your promises seem, we know because You've proven Yourself over and over and over and over again that every word is true. Help us, Lord, to be able to live by that, to claim that, to stand on that, to stand on Your promises every day, to get up every morning and say, this is a day that the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. It's going to be the best day of my life. Father, for that person who does not know You today, who has never accepted that gift of salvation, I pray right now that today will be the day of salvation for that person. It'll be the best day of their life. And every day they can enjoy more and more and more as they grow closer and closer and closer to You. More obedient, more faithful. Thank You. Thank You for this year, 2026. Thank You for the moment that we have right now. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in it. We love You for it in Jesus' name. Stand with me for a moment. Song is playing. If you have a need, God's here. He's here to meet your need. He wants to meet your need. He wants to bless you. That's His desire. For every man, woman, boy, girl that's ever been born, God's number one desire is to bless them. But He can only bless us if we're obedient to Him, if we allow Him to. If we choose Him, if we choose to do it our own way, He will allow that. It's not going to be real pleasant. But if we'll choose Him, repent of our sins, trust Him, be our Savior, allow Him to be Lord of our lives, He'll save us, He'll forgive us, He'll bless us, He'll give us something to live for. Keep your eye on the prize. Live every day in a way that He will be glorified, so that when the end comes, you'll hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. Anyone, before we close, any need, God's here to meet needs.